uttermost of the uttermost.
Welcome to the Word of a King podcast. It's where culture clashes with our calling, where preaching is more important than popularity, where we rightly divide and properly apply the scriptures, where we put to rest common and controversial issues. We do this by looking to the Word of a King.
The key to understand the Word of God is for the author to show you what the thing says. If you understand that book, you get for the author. Then he opened their understanding.
Welcome back to the Word of a King podcast. Got a nice, exciting episode today. We're going to have, it'll probably be two parts, at the mysteries of God, Amen. The mysteries in the Bible. It's a fascinating study. But before we get started, gentlemen, I have a riddle.
Ooh.
Now, nobody answer. We have a live audience once again, some people in the crowd. If you know it, do not say it. Okay. See, I didn't write the riddle down. Let's see if I remember it. What's greater than God, more evil than the devil? The rich do not have it. The poor have it. If you eat it, you'll die. Raise your hand if you know it.
I remember the riddle. I'm trying to think of what the solution was.
Wow. It's an interesting one. I've never heard this one. I have no idea.
Is your thing on?
Is it on?
Okay. For some reason, I'm thinking I'm supposed to hear it through here,
yeah.
Which would not be the case. You guys don't know it?
No.
Well, pretend you know it and raise your hand. No, your left hand. Not your left, my left. That's part of the joke. Oh, I see. Well, what's greater than God?
Nope, nothing.
There's your
answer. That's the answer.
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Yay.
There you go. I like it.
How Amen. About that? Okay, also.
If you eat it, you die.
Yeah, if you eat nothing,
you
die.
If you eat nothing, you die.
That's what they say.
Nothing's more evil.
Typically, I lose weight.
Yeah.
But eventually, you die. Okay, and one more thing, and I'll see if you guys have any recent nuggets. So for whatever reason, I drive for my job. That's not the for whatever reason, but I drive for my job, and then for whatever reason, I decided to listen to just Leviticus, where I normally have it on shuffle for Scorby. So I'm listening to Leviticus, trying to just really get this all the offerings down and how it works as it relates to some of the problem text coming up. So I hear in Leviticus 7, what was it talking about? The peace offering. I think it's for a peace. Yeah, it is. Peace offering. And you would say Christ is a fulfillment of all the offerings, right?
I mean,
why are you hem-hawing?
I mean, it's over. Like, you know what the offering, so yeah.
Okay, but Christ is the fulfillment. Those are like a type of
sure.
Christ's sacrifice on the cross.
Yeah.
Okay, but and leaven is always bad in the Bible except two times. And Leviticus 7 is one of those where they were required to bring leaven in this offering.
Hmm.
So then I got to thinking, where was leaven at Calvary? Or where would leaven be with Jesus Christ? Because leaven's always a type of sin. Leaven's always bad.
I like where this is going. Yeah,
and the Lord gave me a thought, so I just want to see what you guys think. But see if you can come
where
up with anything.
Be?
You could, I mean, well, there's probably options.
I mean, my initial thought would be the sin he took upon himself.
Oh, that'll work. That wasn't my... But that's good. That's good.
I mean, there's some leaven.
There's some leaven.
Leaven also has to do with heresy,
that'll
right?
work. That'll work.
It's also heretical. Maybe when they said, you know, if you're the Son of God, come down, they're questioning his the fact that he is the Son of God, maybe?
That'll work too. See, I'm teaching problem text, and it's been a real blessing. I figured we'd have 3, 4, maybe 5 people participate. There's like 30 students.
That's awesome.
In the problem text class. Well, there's like 35, 36, 38, but some don't take it live, and then some just audit. But I am amazed. I've had at least 15, maybe close to 20 different people participate, and many
Amen.
Of them all the time. And it's a blessing because they'll come up with all these answers, these Bible problems. Like, in my mind, my bad shot mind, whatever. It's like there's only one possible solution. They'll never get this one. And then I'll give them tests. They'll have assignments. But also we do a lot. We go through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and we cover all the supposed contradictions, mistakes. And I'm amazed that not only the participation, but people come up with all these different answers that work. Mm-hmm. So it's a blessing. Amen. Okay, well, here's the nugget I had on that.
I was waiting.
Oh, yeah. Let's get this over with. Man. We are the leaven.
Wow.
What were we doing there? I am crucified with Christ.
Never,
So maybe it's a stretch. Okay. But Leviticus 23 gives the feast. The only other time leaven is used, I believe, in a good manner is Pentecost, which, of course, is start of the church, connected with the church, and there's to be leaven in one of the offerings associated with Pentecost. Every other offering, no leaven, I'll cut you off. Like, leaven is awful. Leaven is horrible. But except those two times. And we're the leaven.
Yeah.
So we contributed. And we contributed with the sin and whatever heresy he was talking about.
It's okay. We'll, edit that out later.
Exactly. There you go.
note that, brother. Okay, so we're going to do an introduction on the mysteries of God before we get into them. So I have some quick points on the mysteries. Let's see. Mysteries of God. So I got a couple verses I'll quote on it. 1 Corinthians 2:10 talks about the deep things of God.
Amen.
Hebrews 5 talks about meat. But that kind of goes along with the definition. So how would you guys define, how would you explain what the mysteries of the Bible are?
I guess I'll say, one thing I like to say is when you hear like mysteries of the Bible, should definitely like make your heart excited that God has mysteries in here for you to search. But I'd say the mysteries, the word mystery does not show up in your Old Testament at all, or mysteries. It's all New Testament, because the New Testament is spiritual, like a lot more spiritual than the Old Testament was, and there's a lot more mystical, if you like that word, more mystical things about the New Testament, because there's things you don't see. So God put his mysteries in here. And I'd like to read one verse about the things like Brother Brian read, about the deep things. Romans 16:19 says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." These things are good of God, and God would have you to be wise. They're mysterious, but you should still look into them. But that's what I have to say, introductory thoughts and mysteries, what they are.
Go ahead, brother.
I would say they are an encouragement and an exhortation to study.
Amen.
In John chapter 5, and I left the class with this thought on Tuesday night. The first three words of verse 39, the Lord says, "Search the scriptures."
Amen.
Search the scriptures. And while we've been tossing about the idea of what to cover on the podcast, we came on mysteries and pondering mysteries. All I have in my head is this picture of, Sherlock Holmes with the magnifying glass. And, you got to search the scriptures. There's something there to be found out.
Amen.
Amen. I like it, guys. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 29:29. You don't hear this verse quoted much. It's a good verse. "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law."
Amen.
I heard a quote from Dr. Ruckman. He says, "God is not the object of research." There's a verse that says, "Can a man by searching find out God?"
Yeah.
If you're searching for God with a sincere heart, God will reveal himself to you some way. But if you cannot find out how to be saved and how to go to heaven by investigation and research, like you're an archaeologist or a mathematician or a physicist or something. So God is the subject of revelation.
Amen.
So that's what we're talking about. These mysteries are things that God reveals in his word, but it's not like sin is bad and grace is good. It's not simple things like that. It's something where, like Brother Micaiah said, you're going to have to search the scriptures.
Amen.
So just a couple more thoughts on the kind of the deeper things, and I got like five other points introductory on the mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Basics are good. Milk is good. Eternal security is good.
Amen.
Get saved, serve Jesus, and wait for his coming. That's wonderful. And preaching the gospel is wonderful, and teaching evangelism is wonderful. But mm-hmm. after a while, it's okay to go, you don't replace that, but in mm-hmm. addition to that, you add some things.
Amen.
And Hebrews 5 talks about meat mm-hmm. and they that are unskillful in the word of righteousness, and that you're a babe and that you can't handle meat, and that you're not you're unskillful in the word. And what else? I had a blank on the meat and the milk, but just that kind of idea.
On that note, here's a little practical, since you were talking about milk and meat and all that good stuff. And I did the carnivore diet for a couple of weeks, try it out, see what it was all about, and felt pretty good. You know, once your body transition periods are horrible, but you know, once your body's in the groove of things, just like fasting, mm-hmm. when you're getting into fasting, it's, you know, you feel horrible, but like once your body gets used to it, you feel really good. So anybody that tells you fasting's bad for you, they don't know what they're talking about. Anyway,
I agree.
One of the most satisfying meals I ate was steak, eggs, and a glass of milk.
Amen.
So milk and meat.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen. I'd like to say another thing,
lots
too.
Lots of protein.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when you can. Go ahead, bro.
May I speak?
You may.
All right. But you'll find in the mysteries of the New Testament, the mysteries of God, is that a lot of these mysteries are huge in big doctrines. Like, you need these mysteries to support the doctrines of the Bible. And we're going to get into these mysteries, but like, the blindness of Israel. You need that to understand what Israel is going through right now, how the church, what it is. And a lot of these mysteries, I don't want to like spoil them, but these mysteries are very, very, very important to big doctrines, to meaty doctrines in the Bible. So you definitely need to study them, as 1 Corinthians 4 puts it.
You can fall into some big heresies.
You can definitely fall into some big heresies.
That, gentlemen, I guess I should have showed you my outline. That is the last point of my introduction to mysteries, and we'll talk about that, the importance of it and the dangers of it when you don't get into that.
Yeah.
Probably should have started with that, but we'll go ahead and talk about that. Go to 1 Corinthians 4.
Amen.
One of you guys can read it if you want. We'll go ahead and talk about that, and I'll give you the other just introductory points on the mysteries of the Bible.
Go ahead, Brother Roman. You got a good radio voice.
All right. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. There you go. May be found faithful.
Everybody quotes verse 2. Moreover, in stewards, it is required that a man be found faithful. But what is the context of being faithful? Faithful to what?
Mysteries of God.
The mysteries of God.
And not that you left it incomplete, but look at verse 4. He's saying it's required of a man, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful in verse 2. Everybody loves that verse, but nobody ever talks about what it's in context of. Verse 1, the steward, being a steward of the mysteries of God. But verse 4, for I know nothing by myself.
That's good, amen.
Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Well, what's he judging Paul on within the context of these verses?
Being a faithful steward.
Being a faithful steward of the mysteries.
Faithful of the mysteries.
Wow.
So, yeah, let's talk about for a minute the importance of these mysteries. And I was going to start out with naming the mystery, just naming them, not talking about them. But not one minister out of 100, not probably one out of 1,000 could even name all the mysteries. Most couldn't name 5 of them. And as our title, spoiler alert, there's more than 7.
Yeah,
there's 13 of them. How can you be faithful with something that you don't even know? It's like you talk to a lost person. Right. I've seen, he's got issues, but Kirk Cameron and then that Australian dude. What's his name? The Way of the Master.
Oh, it's
Australian?
Yeah, he's the guy in California who rides a bike around.
That guy's name?
Can't remember his name right now.
We'll come up with it later.
Yeah.
Anyway, but they would do a lot of street evangelism, and he would film it. And he said, what do you trust and get your help? I'm a good person. Well, and he'd bring up the Ten Commandments. Have you kept all the commandments? And they would say, yes. He's like, can you name them? And of course, nobody can name the Ten Commandments. Well, how do you know you kept them if you haven't? How do you know if you can't even name them?
Yeah,
well, how are these preachers that are lame, that are at weak churches, that nobody knows the book? The preacher doesn't even know the mysteries. He's not a faithful minister. He doesn't even know them, so he's not giving them to his congregation. But yeah, I just want to mention that, and you guys can jump in a second. These mysteries have to deal with eternal security. They answer the charismatic Amen. Movement. They answer about losing salvation. It'll answer the Jehovah's Witness. It'll mm-hmm. answer the big Colossus horror yeah. of Revelation. It'll answer the Andersonites.
Amen.
If people just knew these mysteries, preachers started dropping the ball in the 40s and yeah. 50s and 60s, and now the thing is just gone. So nobody teaches doctrine. And these mysteries, if preachers were faithful to these mysteries, you wouldn't have all these cults, all these heresies that just keep rising up, the deity of Jesus Christ. We'll yep. get into that at some point on Amen. The podcast. But these things are so important, and preachers quit doing it.
Yeah. I mean, can you think of a doctrine that is not supported? Like, if you take out the mysteries, can you think of a doctrine that doesn't have a mystery connected to it? Just off the top of my head, I can't really think of one, other than maybe like,
I think Melchizedek.
There you go. I mean,
no,
but he's
actually
a mystery
not.
Himself.
Well, I think it's Jesus Christ, so that would be 1 Timothy 3:16. So
yeah, right.
That'd be part of the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
Got anything on that? Just the importance of the mysteries and preachers that aren't faithful. And
I think we pretty much summed it up pretty well.
I'd summed it up.
I'd say it's important, though, with the mysteries, to realize this. I'll read it before I say anything else. Isaiah 55:8. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, mm-hmm. neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You don't have to be able to understand them. That's why they're mysteries. And what it comes down to is you come to the Word of God, you look at these mysteries, you study them the best you can, and you say, "God, I don't understand all these, but I believe your Word."
Amen.
That's what God wants to see. That's what he wants to hear, is you come to it, it's a mystery, but you study it, give it your best, and God will be pleased with that. You'll be a faithful steward of the mysteries.
Willing heart.
Willing, exactly. You know, you don't have to be Dr. Ruckman.
It's, as you've heard, you know, any faithful steward say when they're teaching about them, it's not something that's just, nope, you're never going to know it. It's a mystery. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's in Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 3 and 4, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery,
mm-hmm.
as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. This is something Paul had revealed to him, and Brother Brian and I were discussing it Sunday when we were door knocking. I hope you understand, you know, when it comes to the word mystery, I mean, they've got, what, murder mysteries and mm-hmm. TV mysteries and novel mysteries. Well, what's the mystery? It's something that has to be found out.
Yeah.
It's something that you it's don't good, know amen. At the beginning,
yeah.
but it's something that you find out over time, and line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 13:2, and shut me so off funny. Whenever you want.
Yeah, that's my fault, guys, because I didn't show you actually had that. That's one of my points in the introduction, but we can go ahead and cover it now. Yeah, I was going to mention that it's known only by revelation from God, just right. basic facts about the mystery. But he's talking about it, so we'll sounds and, good. And I had that 1 Corinthians 13:2 is a great verse on the mysteries.
And the fact that it can be found out, a mystery is something that can be found out with clues.
Mm.
It's not just, oh, look,
yeah.
John chapter 3, verse 1 tells me the entire mystery about the deity of Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 tells me the entire mystery of, you know, God in the flesh or whatever it might be. It's line upon line, precept Amen. Upon precept. You got to get out your magnifying glass. You got to find these clues. 1 Corinthians 13:2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring up that verse because everybody's familiar with the whole charity
right.
you know topic.
Are,
most people
are you
make
saying
it.
When you go come into like a mystery room and like you don't usually figure it out right away, like you go to a murder mystery like the first thing you look at is like, oh, there's the answer right there.
I did an escape room once. Man, it took some work.
Yeah.
But what I was saying with that is, yes, this is a good verse on the mysteries, but also keep in mind, just like any of these other topics that we discuss, these deep doctrines, oh, yeah, I know that doctrine. I know this doctrine. And then, you know, you might puff your chest out a little because I know that doctrine. And, you know, it's if I have not charity, I am nothing.
Amen.
But Paul's admitting he knows the mysteries. He understands the mysteries, and he expects us to know them too.
Amen.
All right.
Did you steal your whole introduction?
No, we'll talk about it later. All right, so there's not seven of them. That's another fact about the mysteries. Mm-hmm. I know Dr. Ruckman has a book called Seven Mysteries, but I'm sure he's aware there are more than seven. But he just had a study, seven mysteries, seven resurrections, seven judgments, seven covenants. It was just kind of a thing, an easy way to do a chalk talk or write a book. So I know he was aware there were more than seven because he can read and he knows the book really well. Really well now because he's in glory. Yep. So let's name the mystery. We'll just name them. That's all we're going to do. We'll cover them later. The mystery of the seven stars. Mm-hmm. You go.
You mean like another mystery?
Yes.
How about the mystery of the kingdom of God?
Okay.
Mystery Babylon.
Mystery of the kingdom of heaven.
How about the mystery of Paul's gospel?
Ooh. The mystery of the body of Christ.
The mystery of the indwelling Christ.
Amen. Mystery of the bride of Christ.
We're at seven. There's eight.
Mystery of iniquity.
Mystery of iniquity. Mystery of the seven candlesticks.
Ooh, how about the mystery of godliness.
Yes.
I was going to say, did we name that yet?
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
So that's what, 10?
I think that's 11.
And there are different ways to slice these up. Some guys say 14. I heard 15. And then there was a brother in church. And then I said, are you sure? And then we went at it. And then it's kind of like, we didn't go at it. But I said, I think that's actually talking about I said, that's talking about this. I said, therefore, it's connected with this mystery. And I think we kind of agree that it wasn't a separate mystery, but if you have one or two more, it's okay.
Mystery Babylon,
blindness of Israel.
Yep.
One body,
of the rapture.
Rapture.
There you go.
Yeah, bride, indwelling Christ, gospel. Don't be a hyper. Don't call it Paul's gospel. Iniquity, Babylon, and yes, I know Paul called it that. All right, so there's more than seven. Definition. We already talked about that. 2 Peter 3. I'm going to read this. They are hard to understand. And I had a brother, and I do believe he's a brother. I probably could say his name, but I'm not going to. But he is a very well-known heretic who used to be of our crowd. And I actually talked to him on the phone for 2.5 hours. Only communication I've ever had with this guy. And he was very nice. He knows the book. Told me street preaches. I asked him his testimony. I'm like, yeah, he sounds saved to me. I said, what do you preach on the streets? He told me what he preaches. Like, yeah, that's what I preach. But regardless, I'll get on him later on in the podcast and what he believes about the deity of Christ or lack thereof.
Yeah.
But 2 Peter 3:16, this is Peter talking about Paul. Now, if you're a hyper-dispensationalist, you're going to say, well, it's because Peter just preached the kingdom gospel, which is a bunch of bunk, and I'm sure I'll kick that later.
Amen.
When one of you cover the body of Christ, I'm going to make sure to mention that.
Yeah.
But look what Peter says. As also in all his epistles, 2 Peter 3:16, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So Peter said some of Paul's writings were hard to be understood. So like brother said, you got to search it. It takes clues. It takes patience. It takes time. It takes hard work. It takes the Lord revealing these things to you. And the Lord uses ministers. The Lord uses Bible teachers. They are a gift
Amen.
To the body of Christ, Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, pastors and teachers. God gave those to you. You don't need to be a lone wolf and watch Robert Breaker and Gene Kim and read all your Ruckman commentaries, but you never go to church. That's not good.
Amen.
You're not
Amen.
Doing much for the Lord.
Yeah.
You're puffing up your brain, which is great, but other than that, what are you doing?
Yeah.
All right. The next one, you kind of talked about that too. Did you want to say something about that?
I just had a quote from Dr. Lentz come to mind.
You can just jump in if you guys don't have to wait for me to cue you in or whatever. You want
if I'm remembering the quote correctly, it was something along the lines of somebody who's not local church ain't worth shooting or something like that.
Sounds like him.
Yep.
It's a good quote. So if you're watching this, keep watching. We appreciate you, but you're not worth shooting. All right. The next point. These mysteries are known only by revelation from God. He quoted Ephesians 3. So I'm going to read that. When do you go to Luke 44? Luke 9:44.
Extra revelation.
Is that the Apocrypha?
Like, I saw a license plate today. I'm on the highway for work, and it said 1 Peter 9 something. I'm like, there is no 1 Peter 9. Like, it's a coincidence, I guess. Is it just happens to say 1 P-E-T? Okay, if you want to go to Romans 16:25. Sure. I'll read Ephesians 3, just talking about how the word mystery is used in the Bible. Paul says, if you have heard, Ephesians 3:2, of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation mm-hmm. he made known unto me
only
the mystery. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll get in that in a second. Right. Do I have that in my introduction? Yes, I do. So we'll get on that in a minute. Skip the parentheses for time's sake. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. They didn't know about these mysteries. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, I'll get in that in a minute, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God.
There you go. There you go.
God hid them.
Yeah.
He's looking forward to the cross, people. Man. And this, they not only didn't see it, and there's not a verse that says they did see it. I've got several other verses that says they couldn't see it, and God hid it from them.
Amen.
How could they see something that God, is God not good at hide and seek, like hiding things or something?
Well, I seem to recall Jesus thanking God the Father for hiding something from the wise and prudent and revealing it unto babes.
Right.
Wow. So you're saying Abraham, when he said God will provide himself a lamb, he wasn't looking forward to the cross?
He knew all about the death, burial, resurrection.
His sins were forgiven, blotted out, all that stuff.
Yeah. He knew all. He was circumcised. He was spiritually circumcised. He had eternal security. He went to heaven when he died.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Amen. All right, but the thing I just want to know there, and we'll get into the other little nuances of it in a minute, is that it was hidden from God himself and they could not see it. So you had Luke 9:44. Listen to what this says.
Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Wow.
It was hidden.
It was hidden. They understood not. He said, Jesus is like, I'm going to be killed in the hands of sinful men. And what are you talking about, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
It's neat. Right in a few verses before that, or maybe after that, I know we're not on the gospel yet, but I'm sure one of you bring it up if you're covering that.
Yep. I am.
Mm-hmm. Where does it say? They preach the gospel. It's in Luke 9. Well, somewhere in Luke 9, it says they preach the gospel. Then Jesus tells in the gospel, it says it was hidden from them. So it kind of sounds like it might be different. But you guys know that it says, Matthew 10 says they preached the gospel.
Verse 6.
And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel.
Yeah. They're
healing everywhere.
Yeah. They didn't preach that gospel. They didn't preach what Paul preached.
I usually preach things I have no idea about.
Yeah.
Like I don't believe it, but I just, you know.
You always preach stuff hidden.
I preach hidden things that I've never seen before, spiritually or physically.
All right, I'll quote you a verse. 1 Corinthians 2:7, the context is mysteries, and he calls it hidden wisdom.
Ooh.
So Romans 16, Micaiah.
Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began.
Next verse.
But now is made manifest.
By what?
And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to only the body of Christ. To all nations for the obedience of faith.
Mm. Except Peter.
God only one. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I'm over snorting again.
The obedience of faith. You know, right. You know what it means to obey the gospel.
To believe.
Is to get saved. Yeah, exactly.
So my point here is it's known only by revelation to God, but he read Romans 16:25. How is it revealed? How does God reveal it? By the scripture.
Amen.
And then Ephesians 3 says by the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then one last point, then we'll go ahead and get into them. All the apostles had revelation, not just Paul.
Amen.
I emphasize that over and over and over because that most of you guys aren't going to all of a sudden believe the King James has a bunch of errors and have start speaking in tongues and start using living Bibles and join the Communist Party. Like, that's not going to be what gets you out of the ministry you up. It's going to be hyper-dispensationalism and it's going to be hyper-Calvinism. That's what's going to mess up our crowd because we got too much book in us to believe that bunk, but it's the hyper crowd. And I see this stuff creeping in. That's why I'm always kicking it. It never says Paul only. Paul never said, I'm the only one, and Peter didn't know it. It says apostles, plural, Ephesians 3. The foundation of the church is the apostles, Ephesians 2:20. Yep. Mm-hmm. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, says we preach, and we is Peter. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says we. In 1 Corinthians 1, he mentions Peter. In 1 Corinthians 2, he says we. And we get this wisdom, and it was revealed to the apostles. Mm-hmm. Never just me. Just me, and Peter's just some dumbbell in the dark. So that's man-made. Check it out if you don't believe me.
And to that point, he read out of Luke chapter 9 earlier, and you were mentioning he was going to be killed in the hands of sinners, and they all had no idea what he was talking about. And even after he died, they had no idea what he was talking about. It was only after the resurrection they remembered, and they were like, oh, yeah, he said. But just keep in mind, because somebody might read the fact that they had knowledge, like you were just saying, of the mysteries, don't necessarily read it backwards in through their experiences. Because Matthew, which I know you weren't saying that, but, you know, just so somebody doesn't misunderstand, like Matthew chapter 13, he has all these parables, and we'll probably discuss some of them a little bit, but he gets done with these parables, and Jesus saith unto them in verse 51, have ye understood all these things? they say unto him, yea, Lord. So they had an understanding to a certain extent. You know, so it's like he was just saying, it's not like they were all just idiots and in the dark and knew nothing.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that is important to know. And if you are a hyper-dispensationalist and you don't know who we are, if you know who we are and seen the podcast or know Pastor Chad and know what we believe, you know better. But we are aware nobody in the Gospels during the earthly ministry of Christ knew anything about the death, burial, resurrection. Nobody preached it. Jesus didn't preach it. He just said it privately to the 12. Yep. He told them about it. They knew nothing about it. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, that is not the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
That is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You had to repent and get baptized in water to receive the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Acts 3, Peter is preaching the second advent. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come and restitution of all things. Acts 4, 5, 6, 7. I get all that. These brothers get all that. We understand the gospel of the grace of God. I'm trying not to call it Paul's gospel. But the gospel of the grace of God was not preached in Acts 1 through 7. So we are aware of that, but we're just objecting to that Paul was the first one, and then he went and told all the others years later. That's not in the Bible. That's made up. Amen. Or that Peter never knew about it, and Peter had a separate, the little flock, they call it, which that term occurs one time in Luke 12, and that Peter is preaching his kingdom church, and he's just to the Jews, and Paul is preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision, and Peter's preaching the gospel of the circumcision, Galatians 2, which is in Galatians 2.
Right, right.
But what they say that means is Peter's preaching a different gospel, a kingdom gospel, to these little Jews that are waiting for Jesus to come back. After Acts 7, that's bunk. Nobody's doing it. So, well, gentlemen, we can go ahead and get in the mysteries.
Amen.
We will not cover all 13. Named all 13. I told the gentleman that we're going to do two of these, each have two, and then I'll pick up the scraps or whatever. So we'll cover in depth probably six of them, but we'll go ahead and start with you, Roman. What do you want to cover first?
Well, we can jump into the gospel. I've covered a couple, so jump to the gospel. Let's do it. Let's do the gospel. Okay, I'm trying not to call it Paul's gospel.
Well, Paul called it my gospel. And
it's the gospel of God. It's a little bit different
right,
names.
Gospel of the grace of God. But
yeah.
But it kind of hints at or suggests that it wasn't Peter's gospel, or that it was exclusively Paul, or it was Paul first, or Paul only. So it just has a hyper thing. But don't worry about it. Everybody does it.
Okay. So I'm going to read the text one more time. Romans 16:25. Now to him that has a power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to Paul for the obedience of, all nations, for the obedience of the faith. But we've already covered quite a bit of things about the gospel, but I wanted to look at why is it a mystery? Why do you think the gospel of the grace of God is a mystery? Well, there's a few reasons why I wrote down, and I think one of them is that if you believe the gospel, all the things that's added to you, that's pretty mysterious. A Jew died on the cross. Now, I'm really bringing it down. Jesus Christ is not just a Jew, but a guy died on the cross for your sins, and his blood, when you get saved, washes away your sins, and you get all the riches of God from Ephesians 1, the confidence from Philippians 1, and the shout from Colossians 1, all from just believing the gospel. That's pretty mysterious. But then once you get, like Brother Micaiah said in the introduction, you get a little deeper into it, and you start to understand how God required a blood sacrifice. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and Jesus Christ bought the church with his blood.
Amen.
That's one of the mysterious things that people just kind of, throw that away. But it is mysterious in the way that there's power. Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. You mean believing this? Yeah, that's what God said. It's the power of God unto salvation. I have another reason why it is mysterious. Well, it's kind of like one mystery that people don't understand about it. We kind of covered it a little bit, is the fact that not just Paul preached it. You read Acts 8, and when Philip preaches to the eunuch, he's not throwing water baptism into the gospel there. The eunuch says, "Can I get baptized?" Says, "If thou believest." Yep. It's emphasis on the belief. It says he preached Jesus Christ in them. Read Acts 8. Read Acts 10, where Peter preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, arguably more clear than what Paul ever did. Really?
I like that.
Yeah. Arguably, there's remission of sins in there. I think it's Acts 10, like 34 all the way to 48.
You got the Holy Ghost without laying on of hands. You got the Holy Ghost without being baptized in water. Yeah. He got baptized later. He was a Gentile. That's why the whole hyper thing doesn't hold any water.
Amen.
What is Cornelius is preaching? Cornelius is a Gentile. He's a Roman. Why right. would Peter be preaching exactly, some kingdom gospel?
Yeah, amen. Yep. People like to add to the gospel, like to add water, as it is in Acts 2, and they like to add that it's, well, they like to say that the gospel's been preached. We were at a meeting recently, and there was a guy, and I'm going to go back a little bit, because I've heard Dr. Ruckman say that he can spot what heresy you're in within a minute of talking to you. And this guy starts preaching, and he's...
Oh, no.
He starts preaching, and he's a good brother and everything, but something was off right away, and he says this. He's preaching on praising the Lord, and he uses an illustration of when Abraham offered up... No, it was in the garden. It was Genesis chapter 2 and 3. He's preaching on that. I forgot exactly what he was saying. But he says, ever since Genesis 3:15, the gospel's been preached, and it's gone throughout the whole world, and the gospel's been being preached ever since then. And he's supposed to shout at that. I was like, buddy... The word gospel, not that it has to, but it doesn't even show up till Matthew. And it's not even the same gospel, but
right.
People like to add water, like to say it's been preached ever since. Just read Romans 16. It's been kept secret since the foundation of the world. Some people like to say it's been preached since the foundation of the world.
That's the opposite of been secret.
Right.
It's hidden. It's been secret. Nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
The 12 spent 42 months with them, and they knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Peter rebuked them. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Yeah, the gospel is very mysterious. You got to... Story after story after story. I mean, millions of stories in the last 2,000 years of people with rotten marriages, people literally about to kill themselves, people about to be dead, homeless or alcoholics or drug addicts. And then a message comes along. If I said the moon is made of cheese and if you snap your fingers three times and do a backflip, you'll be happy. That would not work one time in the history of mankind if this thing's a fairy tale. Yeah, but I say there's a Jew 2,000 years ago in Palestine and he died and they killed him. Like, so what? There were two others that day alone. Yeah, the Romans crucified a bunch of people.
Yep.
No, but he died. He was buried. He rose again. He claimed to be God. He's coming back to get you, and he offers salvation for free. And God, we're not Calvinists, but we're not Arminian either. We know God does have a hand in it. The Holy Spirit convicts that heart. The gospel takes root in your heart.
Amen.
And your life is, as far as the spiritual and the inner things and your eternity is instantly changed that second.
Amen.
Forever, just by believing and putting your faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That is very mysterious.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. It's awesome. He kind of mentioned at the beginning of this, there's like 40, 50, 60 different things that happen to you the second you get saved. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Amen.
But it's very mysterious. And you know how you know that? Because nobody knows anything about it.
Right. Yeah.
Most churches, even the Fundy church, I was at a Fundy church. My wife was at a Fundy church for 30 years. And then she became a Ruckmanite, went down to PBI right after we got married. And she's like, wow, I just learned so much Bible. But a lot of it, she learned about her salvation.
Amen.
They don't know anything about spiritual, John R. Rice, Sword of the Lord, Spirit, Ruckman's peculiar doctrine, spiritual circumcision, whatever
doctrines.
That is. That's what he actually said.
Wow.
Whatever that is.
Whatever.
Dude,
the Bible,
that's your eternal security. That's what that is.
Yep. Wow.
That's the anti-type of physical circumcision. But
my dirty, rotten, filthy flesh isn't getting my perfectly clean, saved soul dirty.
Amen.
Salvation's the same in the Old Testament. I guess that's why that's their blind spot.
Yeah.
You jump right in if you got other comments off of what he's. We can all talk about.
Well, you were saying how they like to add water, and they do, and maybe it's because they're thirsty because they don't have the living water.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. Amen.
So they're walking around thirsty, trying to read water into everything.
Mm. Yeah.
Reading water and everything, I got a story about, Brother Brian might know this. When we were in Memphis for the Beale Street Blast, we were talking to this guy.
Yeah, you guys kept looking at me because I'm standing at home. I'm like, no, you guys got it. You guys are fine. I didn't help. Yeah. They didn't need me.
This guy says, so we're talking about how the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And I'm trying to prove to him that that water baptism isn't a part of the gospel. And I say, okay, so what is the gospel the power of God to salvation? The guy's like, yeah, it is. And I read 1 Corinthians 15:1-4.
Good verse.
And I read that, and he says, I'll say this. I'll read verse 3, or where is it? Yeah, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He said when Christ died, what Paul is really trying to say there is that Christ was buried in baptism. He was underwater when he died. He said that is the baptism. That is, I'm like, water baptism?
Wow.
And he said, if I wanted to get saved, he would take me down the river and baptize me.
I'd have to say, I've never heard anyone read baptism, baptism, into that verse.
He did one.
That's a new one.
Christ sent me not to baptize. But
right, exactly.
Yeah, whatever. You have any more on this? We can get on the next one.
We can move on.
But if you have any main thoughts on it.
Let me see it.
I only had one more thought, but go ahead.
Go ahead. You go on. Go ahead. I'm going to look at my notes a little bit.
Romans chapter 1, verse 1. You don't have to go very far. We were talking to, Brother Brian was talking about what the gospel does. You know, it changes people's lives, and this isn't some 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and go through the 7-step program and then stick with it for 3 years. And you'll. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God.
Amen.
It's got the power to separate you.
Yeah.
Oh, separation. Sorry.
E pluribus unum, out of many, one. We want to get together.
Yep.
Not separate. Yeah, the gospel does separate.
2 Timothy 1:8 has afflictions. With preaching the gospel brings affliction. Mm-hmm. Paul asks for boldness. Well, I think the only prayer he asks for people to pray for him is boldness to preach the gospel.
He did pray for doors.
Doors to be open. Yeah. He, because that is, it's a mystery, and people will scoff at it, but it is the power of God, and it has afflictions, it has bonds in Philemon, talks about how he's at the bonds of the gospel. It's, the gospel is so much. Paul said he fully preached the gospel in, I think it's 1 Corinthians, Romans 15:19. He fully preached the gospel, but I have one thing, but it'd be taking a while to kind of get into, so we can move on.
Yeah. Can't summarize it?
No. Can't summarize it.
All right, Brother Micaiah, which mystery do you want to cover?
Figured we could start off with the gospel of the kingdom of heaven.
Mm. The mystery of the kingdom?
What did I say?
Gospel?
Gospel. Did I say gospel?
Gospel's on the
mind. Okay, well, it's connected.
Well, there is one, that's within the mystery of the kingdom of heaven is preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And every time you see a word, we were talking about baptism, just because the word baptism appears doesn't mean water, and just because the word gospel appears doesn't mean the gospel of the grace of God.
Right.
Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, he's speaking to his disciples when they asked him, why are you speaking in parables? Nugget for you, Jesus spoke in parables to make it harder to be understood, and not easier to be understood. God had a habit of separating out who's serious and who's not.
Do you think he still does that today?
Absolutely.
No, no way.
That's why your Bible is written the way it's written,
right?
Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so that you either study it that way and you find these mysteries, you get the doctrine, or you don't and you fall backwards and break your neck on it.
And that's the God of the Bible. If that sounds strange to you, it's because you don't know the God of the Bible. I'm not saying you're not saved, but...
Read Isaiah 14 sometime.
Ezekiel 14, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Kings 22.
But Matthew 13:11, he says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So the kingdom of heaven is one of those very misunderstood things in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
It is not interchangeable with the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, the thing Dr. Ruckman always said was, you know, cats and dogs both have four legs. You know, they have some similarities, but they're not the same thing. A cat is a cat and a dog is a dog.
Mm-hmm. That's profound. They have two eyes, two ears, a tail. Oh, they're the same. No, they're different. Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven have some similarities, but that doesn't mean make them the same.
The phrase Kingdom of Heaven only appears in the book of Matthew. And it appears 33 times. The kingdom of heaven, and we'll spoil it as we look at more verses, is a literal, physical, earthly, visible kingdom.
Amen.
All right. It's you don't have to look at, but you can look at chapter 11 and Jesus speaking, and he says in verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. If the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom,
that's a problem.
I don't know how it suffers violence, and I don't know how these sinners are taking it by force. Oddly enough,
that's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the same. That's weird.
The only other time I found the phrase "take it by force" was 1 Samuel chapter 2 with Eli's sons talking about the offerings and saying, "You give it to me, or I will take it by force."
Good guys.
Yeah, good role models for you. So this is not a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and I know maybe one of you two were planning on covering kingdom of God, but
maybe
they're not the same thing. Okay, you can look at Romans chapter 14.
Amen. That's a good
one. Well, here, you look at Luke. Here, I'll play you for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
You
play me.
Roman, you look at Luke 17.
Luke 17, okay.
And,
these are familiar verses. We don't need to look at them. I mean, we can just quote them.
If you want to grab 1 Corinthians 6.
Inherit the kingdom?
9 and 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Romans chapter 14.
So he gets the easy one.
He gets the easy one?
You do.
Oh, me. Oh. Well, I'm driving.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's your
Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's physical. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it's almost like those are some of the byproducts of what we were talking about from the gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah.
These spiritual things that you can tap into. You want to read Luke for us? Luke 17?
17 what?
Oh, sorry. 20 and 21.
Come on, you should know this.
And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation.
What?
Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
That sounds different.
If the kingdom of heaven is a literal, earthly, visible kingdom, it's not within me, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it not come with observation?
Yeah, you can't see it, I guess.
It's the opposite of, like, Jesus' kingdom.
They sound a little different than each other.
First Corinthians 6?
What's 1 Corinthians 6 say for us?
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Okay, well, what were you before you got saved?
Some of those.
Extortioner, rioter, liar, murderer.
Oh, wait, all of those. No, yeah. Not all of them.
Why? Because a lost man can't touch the kingdom of God.
Because
it's a spiritual kingdom.
Right.
That you are put in. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
Do you have the righteousness of God?
Yep.
Amen.
I have the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Only because I've saved.
Right. Amen.
I didn't earn it. I didn't preach the gospel of the kingdom to get it. I didn't get baptized to get it.
Amen.
I got saved to get the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen. John 3, you have to be born again.
Okay.
No. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. It's the opposite. I mean, you don't have to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. You're seeing it when you're the day you're born the first time. You know, it's a spiritual kingdom.
Yeah, that Matthew 6:33 is awesome. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Matthew 5-7 is the constitution of the kingdom. And blessed are the peacemakers, they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, and all that kind of stuff. And but like he said, kingdom of heaven 33 times only in Matthew. Kingdom of God, I believe, occurs 5 times in Matthew, and it's so amazing to see. It's in Matthew 21, which is so awesome. That parable is like verse 43. About another nation. But Matthew 6:33, seek ye the kingdom of God. That's the spiritual. That's the invisible. That's righteousness. That's salvation. That's Jesus Christ, the stone which the builders rejected. They sought it not by faith, but by the works of the law. They rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the kingdom of God, so they don't get the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But more on that later, as far as the future.
Another
mystery.
Well, I'll just summarize the rest of this because I wasn't sure how much we were going to cover on this. But the Bible is not about salvation. The Bible is not about the gospel of the grace of God. Despite what many might have you believe, the Bible was not all-encompassing, written since Genesis 3, you know, preaching the gospel. The Bible is about a king and a kingdom.
Amen.
The Bible is start to finish kings. Who's in authority over what? The kingdom that we are in right now. We are in the kingdom of heaven right now. And it's waiting for the king. They take it by force. The violent take it by force. They've been fighting over it for thousands of years. It used to be Satan was the king of it. And you guys covered that on The Gap a handful of months ago. You know, Lucifer, was the king. We'll get technical. And then he got it taken away from him. He had his crown removed. He had his, he was Mr. Shiny and his all these stones and stuff. And then it was given to Adam. Adam had the crown.
See what he's talking about? That's very mysterious. And almost nobody knows about what he's saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Adam was the king.
What do you mean?
The kingdom
was he given dominion?
Over the whole place, over the animals. He got to name
everybody.
King
over literal physical kingdom.
He had a beautiful covering. If you look at what the Bible says about gold in the land of Havilah there, and the gold was good, and then he lost the crown.
He's going deep.
And then just you read the whole Old Testament. I mean, there's 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and Chronicles, just all about the kings, all the way through. And then you get where... Matthew, where it's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Matthew presented Jesus Christ as the coming king. And not to split hairs, Matthew doesn't present him as the king. He's the coming king. Because while he was here on the earth, he was those people running around, Jesus is king? No, he's not. Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Right.
Revelation 11, second advent.
Yeah, don't blame Jesus for what's going on on earth.
Right. Because Revelation 11 says the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. It's at the second advent that he takes the throne. That's where he gets it, because he was only a prince. He was the heir. You read those parables and Daniel chapter 9, the prophecies, you know, until the prince. So he's the coming king. He's not king yet.
There's so much that we could do 3-hour podcast on just the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So we could do a couple things. We still have 4 or so mysteries to go. We only got a couple minutes left. If we could finish it in like 5 minutes or so, we can go, or we could bring it up on the next one, or what do you think?
Finish what?
Finish the kingdom of heaven, because I'm sure you have more to say, and I'd like to say some stuff about it, but we're running short on time. We could like probably go another 5 minutes.
I think we could pick it up next time, but
we have more mysteries to cover.
I say we just wrap it up now.
Okay, we'll go another 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll just summarize
real quick.
We're
just short of an hour or so. But yeah, like I want to say like 50 different things, but obviously I can't.
I'll just summarize real quick what I had, and then if you want to add your comments, you can, any of these mysteries, any of these doctrines, you don't build doctrines off of types, you can find types off of doctrines.
Right.
Okay? You don't get it backwards. But these mysteries, you find types throughout the Old Testament. They have clues, like we were saying, that you can find. And King David, one of the greatest types of Christ in the entire Old Testament, if not the greatest. Somebody's probably out there arguing him or Joseph.
Yeah.
But King David, if you look at how he came to be in the throne, it matches Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because
yeah.
he was anointed by Samuel for Samuel 16. He's not king yet. Jesus Christ was anointed at his baptism. And then you get, he's crowned in what? Hebron, was it? In 2 Samuel 2.
I don't know.
You know, by the. Those that were following him there in Judah, you know, so I kind of just saw the disciples and those that actually did follow Jesus when he was on the earth here. And even just, even though he was anointed, Saul ran him out of town. He's like, no, you know, it's just, David didn't even get the king right, the right. throne right yeah. away when he was anointed. And then he's crowned over all Israel in 2 Samuel 5. And that's where you'll find Second Advent and. You know, getting the throne and
yeah. Saul type Antichrist.
Try not to go too fast, but
that's fun to go fast.
Amen.
Got any thoughts on the kingdom, brother?
Yeah. Well, I'd say that it's very important to get this one right, because if you look at the Catholics and the Muslims, and
that's
really,
what I forgot to say. Yeah.
Yeah. You look at all these. People that are fighting for God, you know, they're doing what they can for God, but it's all physical. You have the Crusades.
Yep,
they're killing people to bring in the kingdom. We're not bringing in the kingdom. We're fighting for God, fighting the good fight of faith until Jesus Christ takes us out.
Occupy,
we're not trying to take him in.
Yeah.
Right. We're not doing that. But the Catholics, they'll say, or the Southern Baptists, you know, they'll say stuff like, for the furtherance of thy kingdom, and Lord, that your kingdom on earth would. His kingdom isn't here yet. Jesus Christ's kingdom, when he comes back, that's in the future. And we're not bringing in the kingdom. And that's a huge thing you got to get right. Because if you start, I mean, even it's even a little bit in the fundy, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, it gets in there with, if my people. No, that's not.
It's all related to misunderstanding the mystery of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, it is. That's what I had to say about that.
Yeah, they're called state churches. They're post-millennial, bringing in the kingdom. Amillennial, the replacement theology. It's also connected with a place in Israel.
Yep.
The kingdom is connected with Israel. Israel will get the land. The Jews will, that's to do with the mystery of the blindness of Israel. We'll talk about that later. But the Jews will get the land. Jesus Christ will come back, and they will literally reign, and it will fulfill hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses. I've counted 945 just in Ezekiel, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, 945 verses on the kingdom. The book's about a king and a kingdom. Daniel 2, he's telling Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, I give the kingdoms to whomsoever I will. Look at, if people understood this, they quit trying to spread a kingdom. They quit trying to get all involved in politics.
Yep.
They quit trying to make America great again and go to all these rallies.
Yep.
And it would answer these lost people. Well, if God is so good, why does he allow evil, blah, blah, blah? And if God is all powerful and if God is reigning, God's not reigning.
Right.
Jesus isn't reigning.
Yeah.
He's going to come back and reign. And then you look at him cross-eyed, he'll throw you so fast in hell, your head will spin. No, nobody will do anything during the millennium. Jesus Christ will literally, physically, visibly reign in, and all the promises will be fulfilled.
Yep.
But until then, the devil, the kingdoms of this world are the devils. Luke 4, bow down, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world, for they are mine, and give them to whomsoever I will. Mm-hmm. Satan has the kingdom, and that's part of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven.
Yep.
That Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. When he comes back at the second advent, he takes it over from Satan, and Satan's thrown in hell for 1,000 years. But until then, Satan is in charge of this world.
Mm-hmm. Brian,
that is part of the mystery.
Jesus didn't rebuke Satan when he said, I'll give you these things if you follow
Exactly. He did not.
He didn't. Mm-hmm. Who's the God of this world? 2 Corinthians 4:4, it's
Satan
Jesus Christ.
Satan is the God of this world,
That's what it is.
And that's what people need to keep in mind. It's future. You know, oh, Jesus is king. Not yet.
Yeah.
You know, Luke 1:33, and he shall reign future over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Future. Amen.
Man, we could go on and on.
I know. We got to stop
at some point. Kingdom of heaven. But we got to stop. We still got a bunch of other mysteries that we wanted to explain. So, yeah. Won't be any nice fancy clothes. We'll just close on that note. There's something else I wanted to say about the kingdom, but there's probably 50 things we could each say. So tune in next time. We'll cover 4 or 5 more mysteries. Appreciate you watching. Any last thoughts, gentlemen?
It's a deep book, deep well.
Amen. Search the scriptures.
Amen.
Amen. God bless people. See you next time. Amen.
The key to understand the Word of God is for the author to show you what the thing says. If you understand that book, you get for the author. Then he opened their understanding.